Joe Rhodes answering your Apple computer and accessories questions with us here on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here. Let's turn to Daryl in Exonia first. Daryl, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I have a Mac running, I think, 10.6.
All right.
And my car stereo will play MP3s. It's got a USB port.
All right.
So I took a regular CD and it downloaded it. You know, it says AIFF file format.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went up into the Mac iTunes
mm-hmm.
and said advanced, convert to MP3s. And I converted them to MP3s, put them on the USB, plugged them in my car stereo, and it says file format not supported. And then if I go to Amazon, I bought a song, MP3, downloaded it, put it on, it played it just fine.
Okay.
And I went down to the Apple store. I'm like, well, what is, you know, is this a security thing? You know, it's not letting me convert a CD. And it said, no, there's different kinds of MP3s. And I guess my question is, how do I determine how to convert an analog AIFF file into a MP3 format that my car stereo will recognize?
I'm not sure that there's different kinds of MP3s. That's the first time I've heard it. It sounds like you're doing the right thing when you go into the iTunes Advanced. And I'm actually looking at that right now, and I'm not exactly sure where it is. But I know there is a place where you can decide how you want your music to be encoded. So, for example, when it comes off of a CD, it's AIFF, or I don't know exactly what that stands for, but basically it's the raw video file or audio file. iTunes then crunches it down into something that's small and compatible with iPods and iPod Touches and your Apple iTunes, and it keeps it from getting too big. Now, the default for iTunes is to encode it into what's called AAC, or Advanced Audio Codec, which is becoming a standard, but it's not nearly as ubiquitous as MP3. If you actually... Now, do you have a laptop or a desktop?
Yeah, I have a laptop.
And you took that into the Apple store and said, hey, I'm trying to make MP3s.
I didn't carry it with me. I just talked to them because I'm pretty familiar with Macs. And
sure.
And like, if you look at the preferences for the MP3, there's like different... You can say MP3 at such and such different bit rates. And like, you can make it be either a larger file or a smaller file. It's still an MP3. But how do I know where in there to make that MP3?
Ah, got it. Yes. I don't know, and this is going to depend somewhat on your car stereo. I suspect that either the good quality or the high quality are probably what you want. Like mine, I just have a drop down that says use the MP3 encoder, and then it gives me a menu. I can pick how high quality. I imagine if it's too high a bit rate, it probably won't play it. I can't say that for sure.
So
I
just got a
little bit of experimentation. I'd start with one track and just kind of do it one off until you find one that actually works. But I suspect either good or high quality. The highest quality is probably where it's not going to work, because that's just probably more than what that MP3 player was designed to handle.
All right, I'll have to try that then.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. That would be my guess, too.
Yeah, probably a little bit lower quality, and it'll work better.
Steve and Madison, and still be pretty good quality, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, unless you're a great audiophile, and honestly, in a car where there's so much road noise, you probably wouldn't even notice the difference.
No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't, at least. Steve and Madison, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yes, I have a 3-year-old iMac, and it just seems to be, you know, slowing down. It takes longer to launch just Explorer and Mail. And when I'm in, Safari, I get that, you know, that little red circle, the rainbow kind of circle, more frequently than I'd like. And I'm not sure what's going on here.
Okay. Couple things you can try. First off, especially with Safari, there's a whole set of cache files that it builds up that are supposed to make it more efficient and faster, but sometimes they get so darn big that they actually start getting in the way. So one thing you can do, if you are you familiar with your home folder on Mac OS X?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so you go in there and you've got your desktop folder, your library, your music, pictures,
right,
etc. In that library folder, there is a folder called Caches.
Okay.
And for the most part, everything in that folder is expendable.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, in mine, I've just got tons and tons of things, 51 different items, folders, all kinds of stuff. Try just throwing all that stuff away.
Okay.
So when you first do that, I'd probably suggest restarting the computer after that, just for good measure.
Mm-hmm.
The first time you start opening applications, they might actually seem to take even longer, because some of that cache files, they'll have to be recreated.
Right.
So for example, if you have a lot of fonts... Those fonts are all kind of chewed up and in a quick, easy-to-use format in your caches folder. Well, now it has to go back to the original fonts and prep them all again.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've done that, especially with Safari, it'll kind of clean out some of the junk that's been hanging around, so that may help some.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm trying to think general maintenance that makes Macs get slower over time. I'm not too familiar with stuff that really makes Macs get slower. What you might try, and I don't know how much memory your iMac has.
Four gigs? Yeah, what?
Okay.
Yeah, I upgraded when I bought it. So, and I had this little program that kind of tells you, you know, what's going on. And right now it says 91% of the CPU is idle.
Yeah.
It's not using much at all.
Yeah, which sounds about right. And the other thing you might check is just see how full is your hard drive getting.
Yeah, it's only about half full.
Okay.
I checked that too. Not even half full.
Yeah, because generally speaking, if you get within 10% of, or less than 10% of free space, that can help, will slow things down.
Right.
So you want to keep it below that, but... Yeah, it sounds like you've got pretty much everything.
Other than the cache. I had 50 in my caches. Yesterday I cleaned my cache out. That made a difference.
Yeah, so I would try starting with that and see if that helps.
Okay, what about, I've seen ads for these tune-up programs for the Mac, which I never thought you'd need, but...
I am questionable about those programs, just because there's not a whole lot that the Mac needs to be tuned up.
Right.
I've been using the same Mac for, I think I'm about 3.5 or 4 years, and it just... I can't say I've noticed the thing gets slower as the time goes on. You might just take a look and see in system preferences on your accounts. There'll be an option there for login items. Just see if you have a whole lot of things that are set to start up automatically when you log in.
Okay.
Because those can kind of drag things down.
Sure. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'd take a look at those things. See if anything's set to start up automatically. Clean out your caches and see if that helps out.
Thanks a lot for calling, Steve. Appreciate it. Carter in the Twin Cities, we turn to you now. Hi.
Hi. I just got an Apple iPad.
Okay.
And I was wondering if there's, like, I know it doesn't support Java Flash Player and Adobe Flash Player, stuff like that.
Correct.
Is there any way to get it on there at all?
Well, this kind of goes back to that first thing we talked about at the top of the hour. There are jailbreaking methods, which will basically release the tight controls that Apple has on there. And then you may be able to find a third-party application. I know there was one floating around that sort of worked, but it only worked so-so. It didn't play a lot of web video, and a lot of web games didn't quite work either. To be perfectly fair, Adobe is first releasing the Flash Player for Android and other mobile platforms. They're just now releasing a beta, so they don't even have it ready either. But there are some people who are doing some work on this, but you're going to have to jailbreak the device to do it. Now, in doing that, once you've done it, Apple basically says, hey, if you have problems, it's now your basket. We're not going to help you with that. So when you do that, you know, there's a risk. You are stepping away from Apple's official support, their official party line, their official help and guides, although a lot of people do it. And for the most part, I think it works pretty well. But the other thing you're going to run into is, and this is, you know, the argument why Flash doesn't show up on these devices to begin with, these devices aren't that fast. I mean, they look like they're doing a lot, but the processors and the amount of memory is just there's not a lot there. Flash really needs a lot of resources to run. When you run it on a desktop, I mean, it's pretty standard where it starts using up a whole lot of your processor and your available, you know, computing resources. You look at the activity monitor, it'll use 80-90% just to play a silly advertisement on the top of a web page. So when you start doing this on an iPad, I'm not sure how good it's going to work. I mean, you'd certainly give it a try, but just, you know, just keep in mind you are kind of going up, you're cutting against the grain.
All right. There you go. Thank you for calling, Carter. Appreciate it. Thor and Ellison Bay, we're on to you now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a MacBook that's a couple of years old, and last week I noticed at the bottom of the screen I mysteriously had this little black, looked like a balloon appearing. And then a couple days later, a second one appeared, and then a couple days after that, a third one appeared. And they seem to be sort of rising up, but they're still kind of attached to the bottom of the screen. But they're troublesome, and I'm wondering if there's anything I can do to get rid of them.
Well, I guess the question is that something that the hardware is starting to do, or do we have a program or some sort of corruption in the software? If it's the hardware, which can happen where either the display starts to fail and certain pixels don't want to light up anymore, or I've seen it where the graphics chip starts to get a little funny, and bits of its memory don't work quite right, and so it tries to display something on one location and it gets, you know, just kind of silly. Usually you see that as bars that go across your screen or something like that. But you're saying this looks more like a balloon or a bubble?
Yeah, they look like little hot air balloons rising off the bottom of the screen. And actually,
they move?
Started as just like a little sort of a dot or a blob on the bottom of the screen, and now they're they're perfect circles, different sizes, but they seem to be sort of leaving the bottom of the screen and migrating upward.
Huh. Well, the first thing I would try, just to rule it out, is let's try, you know, getting your software replaced or updated. Are you running what version of Mac OS X? Do you know?
Let's see. It is version 10.5.8.
Okay. My suggestion, and this is, you know, this will take you a couple hours to work through it just because there's a lot of little things, but I would try an archive and reinstall of Mac OS 10.5.
Okay.
And what that will do is it will keep all of your settings, your documents, it'll keep all of your applications, but it'll put down a clean installation of Mac OS 10.5.
Okay.
And then go and make sure you've applied all the updates because, again, it'll set you back to 10.5.0 or whatever your installed disk happens to be. So you have to go all the way back up to 10.58. There's a lot of updates, and that's what really takes the time. You might, if you have, say, a particular printer or scanner or something like that, you might have to reinstall those drivers.
All right.
But that will effectively give you a clean install of Mac OS X. If anything silly had been going on with Mac OS X, that will get rid of it.
Okay.
If that problem stays there even after you've done all that, then you're probably looking at something with the hardware.
All right.
Now, this also just came to my mind. I don't think it's going to do much, but it's worth a shot because it's quick and easy. You can reset the power management unit. Basically, you take the battery out, you unplug it, and I think on a MacBook, you press and hold the power button for about 10 seconds. If you look on Apple's website, they will give you an instruction on how to reset the PMU, or the power management unit. And basically, it's just a tiny little bit of hardware that takes care of, you know, energy settings and things like that. There's also a key combination for resetting the parameter RAM. Both of those things are real quick, easy, and don't really affect your life any at all. But if, by some bizarre chance, those happen to be causing some trouble, that might help clear it out too. But I'd try those first. Then I'd try reinstalling Mac OS X. Hopefully that will correct the problem, because that, of course, is free. If those things don't, then you're looking at some kind of a hardware issue that, honestly, with a laptop where everything is all one piece, there's not really a lot you can do to just replace the one failed part.
Right. Okay.
All right. There you have it.
All right. Good luck.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Thor. And Mark in La Crosse. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for answering my call. I used to have a MacBook, but it was stolen.
Oh.
And I had all of my information saved on an external hard drive through the Time Machine program. That's on MacBooks.
Excellent.
And I was wondering now, if I'm going to get a new computer, do I need to get a MacBook to get all that information out of Time Machine?
Well, it would be far easier.
Can I get a PC, and is there a program or something that I can use?
Well, the trick is, if you get a PC, the files are not, the PC won't be able to see the Mac hard drive because the PCs can't speak Mac file systems. If you can borrow a Mac from someone, at least for a little while, you could potentially connect that hard drive to that borrowed Mac. You'll be able to see your files there, and then you could turn on file sharing on the Mac in such a way that the PC will be able to grab it, and then you should be able to use basically a network and pull the files off of there.
Joe Rhodes, our guest here on the Ideas Network. Talking about Apple computers and accessories today, Larry Mueller here with my guest Joe Rhodes, self-employed Macintosh support specialist in Madison. Great to have him along, and thank you so much for listening in. Laura emailed in to say that her four-year-old MacBook Pro has started to run so hot it feels like she could fry an egg on it. Joe, is there anything she can do to cool it down?
Well, the MacBook Pros are supposed to take care of themselves in terms of heat, but yes, they do get awfully warm, especially if, and I've noticed this with my own, if the battery is very, very drained and I plug it back in, because the charging circuit is working very hard to charge my battery back up, which creates a fair amount of heat, and then the processor creates quite a bit of heat. Even with mine, I notice it gets a little uncomfortable to have on bare legs. If you have it just sitting on your lap and you don't have long pants on, if you're just wearing shorts, it gets a little uncomfortable. But you'll be able to tell, is the Mac running within its normal temperatures, basically by the fan speed, because they have sensors in there, and if it thinks it's getting too warm, you will hear the fans kick up onto high. Otherwise, they're running at kind of a low speed, and they, you know, just keep things quiet. The Mac Pro will not let itself, excuse me, the MacBook Pro will not let itself overheat. If it overheats to the point where it's going to cause some damage, it will automatically put itself to sleep. Whatever you're working on will still be saved. It's still stored in memory, but it will not let you wake it back up until it cools down. However, there are some things that will make your Mac run hotter, just because the more it has to do, the hotter it will have to run. So the first thing I would do with any Mac that you think is either the fans are running too high or it's making too much noise or something like that, if you want to see, hey, is this machine doing more than it needs to, take a look at in your applications folder. There's a utilities folder and there's a program called Activity Monitor. And this thing is a goldmine. It'll tell you exactly what your Mac is doing at any given time. There's a column there, and if you click on it, you can sort by how much of the CPU is any particular program using. So let's say you see one program that's, you know, using up 50, 60, 80% of your processing power. That's a good hint that that thing is really using up a lot of resources and making your Mac work harder, and therefore it's getting hotter, and your fans have to run more. Getting back to what we were talking about before with Flash, it is not uncommon if you have some website open and they have a little Flash advertisement running along the top that your web browser, Safari, Firefox, or whatnot, will suddenly start using a whole lot of processing power. I've had this with my own laptop. All of a sudden, the fans kick up onto high, and I'm like, what's going on? All I have is a web browser open. Then I realize in the background, I had this web page open that has this ad that's been flashing at me the whole time. As soon as I close that web page, about 30 seconds later, my laptop cools down, the fan spins back down to normal, and everything returns back to the way it was. So it's a little tricky, but yeah, Activity Monitor will tell you if something is going haywire and using up tons of processing power, and that'll make your Mac run hotter.
Josh in Racine, we'll go to you now. Hi, Josh.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, well, I am a guy that's worked with computers for quite a long time, and I had an idea for the gentleman with a couple of black balloons there on the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the easier that you can isolate whether it's going to be a software issue or the hardware issue, the easier job's going to be. An idea I had was that you might want to start a third-party software such as, like, a game or even restart the computer and monitor whether those black dots stay where they are. It's curious that they're perfect spheres. Oftentimes, if it's a hardware issue, like you said, there would be some kind of distortion of the screen.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they were to go away when you restart the computer during the splash screen while it's starting up, or if you had a game on, then I would be more likely to assume that it's not necessarily a problem with the display or the graphics card, but rather the an issue with actually some kind of software that's causing those little black spheres to be on the screen.
Yep, I hear you. And that's a pretty good idea. If you can restart it and the spheres are there even during the boot up sequence, then you have some indication at least that it might be a hardware problem. I don't know how regular they were happening for the gentleman, so it's kind of hard to say. But it's a little bit of a, you know, killing a mosquito with a sledgehammer. But if you replace the operating system with a new copy, fortunately, it doesn't mess with your current applications. It doesn't mess with your files and settings. That's probably the most concrete way to say, yes, this is indeed the software because it went away, or no, it's still there. So it's got to be something else going on. But yeah, great suggestions.
Thanks, Josh. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Ty in Appleton, we'll go to you now. Hi, Ty.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I have a couple years old. It's an Apple iPod video. And I was wondering, lately it's had these lines across the screen and they're coming more and more like the pixels are kind of going out.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if there's any way to change that through the settings or if I have to take it into a Mac shop or what. But it's slowly becoming more and more black in pretty straight lines across the screen.
Yeah. You know, kind of dovetailing with what we were just talking about, I think what you're suffering there is probably some hardware degradation. Again, what you can try just to make sure it's not the software is you can try plugging that iPod into your Mac or your PC, whichever you have, but go into iTunes and then tell it to restore your iPod from factory default. So effectively, it's going to wipe everything you have off on the iPod. Make sure you've got it on your PC or your Mac. But effectively, it'll reload the iPod software on there just to make sure it isn't the iPod software. But from what you're describing, I suspect the hardware, either the screen itself or the little video chip that handles it, are probably starting to fail. Is that repairable? Probably not worth the cost of the iPod.
Okay.
I'm sure it can be repaired, but you'll probably end up spending more on the repair parts and the procedure than you would if you just ended up with a new iPod. But yeah, first just easy thing is try wiping the iPod and reinstalling the iPod software, and then you can put all your stuff back on it from there and see if that has any effect.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling. Luke in La Crosse, on to you. Hi, Luke.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Joe, I got two expert-level questions for you.
Uh-oh.
First, we had a big storm here in La Crosse about a week ago, and a surge came through my modem, killed the modem, killed the router, and killed the Ethernet port on the back of my iMac.
Uh-oh.
So what can I do to kind of fix that? And my other question is, I do some video editing out of my house, and I like to use iDVD because it's really simple to make menus and burn DVDs, but I was wondering, how can I make a render farm using iDVD, kind of like you can in After Effects and Final Cut Pro using QMaster?
Got it.
I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay. With the surge that damaged the equipment, obviously the modem and router you'll have to replace. The Ethernet port on your iMac, that's a little harder because it's integrated into the iMac, and it's without replacing the entire motherboard, you can't replace that. However, as someone who managed to kill his own Ethernet port one time by getting a static shock while I was holding the cable, there's ways you can work around it, and that is if your iMac has built-in wireless, and all of the recent ones from in my memory do, the next internet router you get, just get a wireless router and use the wireless capability on your iMac. The wireless is not going to be, as far as the internet goes, in any way a choke point for the internet, because the internet is still, even the fastest internet connections are still far slower than the wireless speeds. Now, if you were using that Ethernet to do file sharing between different computers in your office or your home, that will be slower. But if it's just browsing the internet, I would just basically work around the problem by using your wireless, the built-in wireless. It's cheap, easy, free. Wireless routers are very inexpensive. I think you can pick one up for $70. Failing that, you should be able to buy, and I can't say I know of a product right off the top of my head, but I know they exist, a USB to Ethernet converter. So essentially, it's a little dongle that you plug into a USB port, and then it gives you a Ethernet jack on the other side of it, and your Mac should recognize that as a secondary Ethernet card. It's not going to be as fast as the built-in Ethernet, but it should be fast enough. RenderFarm for iDVD. As far as I know, you can't do that. iDVD and is really Apple's home solution for home users. So they did not put a lot of emphasis on power users doing heavy duty things. They didn't want to make it any more complicated than it had to be. The solution to that is basically Apple's Final Cut Studio or Final Cut Express. I'm trying to remember the DVD program off the top of my head that's included with that, and I can't think of it. But I don't believe you can do a rendering farm with iDVD.
There you have it, Luke. Thank you for calling. Linda in Fond du Lac, we're on to you now. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a Mac laptop.
All right.
And when we're at a hotel with Wi-Fi and I try to connect to the internet, the computer does show the hotel connection.
Okay.
But then an error pops up and it says this connection is blocked by another application.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what version of Mac OS X you are using?
No, I don't really. Is there a 7? Like a Leopard? 7?
Well, there's 10.5, and then they usually have a third number after that. So there's a 10.5.7. The most recent is 10.5.8.
Okay, the 7 would be it.
Okay. Couple of suggestions. My first would be take a look. Do you have any third-party antivirus or firewall software that you've loaded?
No.
Okay. First thing I would do is under the Apple menu, there's an option for System Preferences.
Yes.
And in the System Preferences, I believe it's along the top row, there's one for Security. And you can take a look, and there's a tab there called Firewall. And what you might want to do is check and see if your firewall is turned on. Possibly that is keeping something from letting you connect. I don't know why it would just be at hotels. That message that some third-party application is blocking you makes me wonder if something else is installed. Because I know sometimes there are applications like Norton Antivirus and things like that that include a firewall in and above and beyond what Apple includes with their product. And sometimes those firewalls can be very problematic.
Okay, so I want the firewall turned off.
I would try turning that off if it is turned on currently and see if that has any effect. I suspect it probably would if it is turned on.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very
much. Okay, thank you very much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And you can join in as well with your question as we talk Mac computers and accessories with Joe Rhodes. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Pat in Clintonville up next. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I'm looking at upgrading our airport base and looking at the airport extreme base station, but I also noticed that the time capsule seems to include some, you know, to act like a base station as well, and I'd like to know your opinion on those. I see they have quite a lot of storage, but
sure.
I've read some of the reviews, and I'm wondering if it'd be better just to stick to the airport extreme base station.
Sure. Well, the as far as doing internet routing and acting like getting your laptop online wirelessly connected to the internet, both devices do exactly the same thing.
Okay.
So the airport extreme and the time capsule, they both start off with the same level of functionality. What the time capsule adds, of course, is it has a built-in hard drive that allows you to use that device also as a central storage point, or think of it as a miniature simple server.
Right.
Now, that becomes really handy if you've got Macs that are running macOS 10.5 or later, and you want to back up your Mac or maybe several Macs to that device. That way, for example, I've got a laptop. I mechanically plug in an external hard drive into a port on my laptop and I back up to that.
Right.
If you were to have a time capsule, you could do that over your network so that whenever you're in your house, it would say, oh, I can see that hard drive now. It's on the network. I'll just back up there. Or if you've got a couple of Macs and you want them all to back up to the same point, that's where that gets really handy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the downside of that, though, although it's very convenient, it's also a little bit slower. If you can connect a hard drive to your Mac directly, that will be faster than going over the network.
Yeah.
So the big question there is, if you've already got a hard drive that you're using for Time Machine backups and
yeah.
you only have the one Mac, then that network part of the hard drive that's built into that time capsule isn't really that big of an advantage to you.
Yeah.
If you've got a couple of Macs or you've got a couple of laptops, then maybe it's a little easier because each Mac doesn't have to have its own external hard drive. You can all share the one that's built into the time capsule.
Okay. Yeah, that's and it also seemed like they run a little hot, according to the people that have talked about them.
Yes, they do. I mean, because the hard drive is a mechanical device that's spinning, and it's got motors in it, and then the
right.
electronics create heat. So as long as you don't stack stuff on top of them, they're okay. Where you run into trouble is people put them on their desk right
yeah.
next to their modem, and then they stack some papers on it and a file folder and a book, and before you know it, you've got 18 inches of insulation on top of this poor guy, and it can't get any air.
Yeah, no.
As long as it's sitting with a little bit of a air blanket around it, it should be okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe in Mosinee, on to you. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I like to watch YouTube movies or whatever on my Mac OS X.
Okay.
And they're jerky, like old-time Keystone Cop movies.
Okay.
Well, Joe, there's two things that can cause that. Number one is if your internet connection isn't quite up to the task. So I don't know exactly how you're connecting to the internet, but if that is slower than what the video demands, it can't keep up. So if you think about it, the video is kind of like water coming through a pipe.
Mm-hmm.
If the pipe isn't big enough, you can't get enough water to do whatever it is you need to do,
okay.
in this case, the video. So do you know what your internet connection is? Are you using a cable modem, a DSL? Are you dial-up?
No, it's a cable.
Cable modem?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Most cable modems that I've run into are probably fast enough. Now,
yeah.
the second component to this is your Mac fast enough to actually handle all of the data that's coming through the pipe and display it on your screen.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of Mac do you have?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about how old it is and what?
Probably about 5 years old. I don't know what version it is.
Okay. What color is it?
It's silver or?
Yeah, it's silver.
Silver? Okay. I suspect it is probably a G4 Mac. Is it kind of a box and it's got some towers, some handles on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the front.
Yep. Yeah, I think you have a G4.
Okay.
And the answer here is that Mac has just barely got enough oomph to do this kind of stuff.
Okay.
So what you can do to help yourself along is make sure that your Mac isn't doing anything else while you're trying to watch these YouTube videos. So if you've got your mail program open or other web pages open, I would close everything else down except for the window that you're watching the YouTube video in.
Okay.
But even then, G4 can only go so fast, and it can only crunch those numbers so quickly.
Right.
If your G4 doesn't have enough memory, sometimes adding a little bit of memory will give it a little more room to breathe, and sometimes that might work a little bit better.
Okay.
But the trick is, if you've got an older Mac, finding memory for it, you can certainly find it, but it tends to get more expensive because they're not making it anymore.
Is that like an external memory, or does that have to be done internally?
That would be done internally. So I'm speaking specifically of the chips that are on the motherboard. If you open up that computer and it opens up fairly easily, there's a little handle on the one side and the whole thing swings open.
Okay.
You'll probably find a couple of slots where there's memory chips that are stuck in there.
Okay.
Now, finding the exact right chip will depend on exactly which Mac you have.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I'd probably contact a reseller and see, you know, just tell them, you know, here's what I've got and this is what I want to do. And they might be able to offer you some. I can't guarantee that's going to help you with this, though.
Okay.
All right. There you go. So maybe upgrading.
Yeah. You know, those G4s, they were a workhorse. They were around for years. They just never really seemed to die. But at some point, and I think YouTube has been making the quality of videos better and better.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff is starting to happen. People who are making websites assume that everyone has pretty fast computers because computers have gotten so cheap. And folks that hold on to the machines a little bit longer start to notice that some of this newer technology kind of creates a bit of a problem for them.
Thanks again, Joe, for calling. Sally in Tomahawk, we are on to you now. Hi, Sally.
Hi, guys. Gosh, I love this show because I learned so much.
Well, thank you, Sally.
There's something that's happening with my computer. It's probably 5 years old.
Okay.
But it still has lots of memory left, but every time I turn it off and it goes back on, it says, please wait while the photo gallery configures. And so then the little line goes back and forth and back and forth, and then I keep saying, okay, and then it says, please insert disk. I don't even know what disk they're talking about. And so then I just get ticked off. I exit. This is obviously Windows. And then exit out, and then it finally just leaves me alone, and I can continue on to my work that I have to do.
Okay.
I don't notice any of my photos being, quote-unquote, missing, but I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is?
Well, Sally, I will first start off with, I am far more a Mac guy than a PC guy, but I can give you a couple points where I might take a look. It sounds like there is some sort of application that wants to run that maybe came with a camera or something like that when you know maybe you bought a digital camera and you put the disk in the computer and it installed this additional software. And I suspect that that's what it might be looking for.
Okay.
At some point, when it gets done with all of its fits and bursts, take a look at your control panel, and I believe there's one there called Add and Remove Programs.
Okay.
And just so people know, we're talking PC here, not Mac. So if you're on a Mac and you're looking for this, you won't find it. Take a look at the Add and Remove Control Panel where you can add and remove programs, and see if you can see an entry in there for whatever this program is. And perhaps you can just remove
it.
And remove it so it goes away. Now, that should not delete any of your photos. Your photos should be in your pictures folder, which I believe is in your My Documents folder.
Right, huh?
Right. This will just, there's somebody created a clever application that does something fun, and for whatever reason, it's not working properly and creating lots of grief. So maybe the simplest solution would be just remove it.
Take it out.
Yep.
I like to do surgery on my computer. Thank you very much.
All right.
I'm sorry. I didn't know it was just Mac. Otherwise, I wouldn't have bothered you. Thank you.
Oh, that's okay.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Beverly in Cadott, on to you. Hi, Bev.
Hi there. I have a MacBook, and I downloaded Firefox and uninstalled it and reinstalled it. It's just driving me crazy. I have 36 windows opening now. It just keeps opening windows. I just want to know what I can do to get rid of it.
Okay, so you're getting a whole bunch of Firefox windows.
Correct.
Okay. I suspect that somewhere in Firefox, you probably have a folder of bookmarks, and maybe you have it set that it's to open all of these bookmarks when it launches. And so what happens is you launch Firefox, and there's maybe, say, 36 bookmarks in that folder, and it's trying to open them all.
No, it keeps opening the same windows.
Really?
So, I have like five or six of the same windows open, and
okay.
it's like, why? I don't understand. And so I've uninstalled Firefox, but as soon as I put it back on, it does the same thing.
Does the same thing.
Right now, I have 36 tabs open, and probably maybe 10 or 12 of the same tab, and 10 or 12 of the next one.
Okay. Well, my first thought is, obviously it's not the application itself because you've uninstalled it and reinstalled it. What it's more likely to be is preference files. So even your preferences, as far as like which windows you have, what your bookmarks are, things like that, those are all kept separate from the application. My first thought is if you don't have anything terribly urgent in your Firefox setup. So if there's, you know, some bookmarks that you could live without or whatnot, let's try resetting your Firefox profile to new. So make sure Firefox is closed. And then if you go to your home folder, we were kind of talking about this a little earlier. That's the folder on your laptop or on your Mac that has your desktop folder, your pictures, your music, and your library folder. Look in the application support folder. And in there, you will find a folder called Firefox. Put that folder in the trash. That will take away all the Firefox preferences, bookmarks, everything. Restart Firefox and you should be back to ground zero. Give that a try and see if that helps.
And thank you very much for calling. And Joel, thank you so much. You'll come back and be with us again, I hope.
I would love to be.
Go to Joel's website, joelrhodes, RHODES.com, and you'll learn some more there. And if you /WPR, there's a whole setup for you. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.